the rest of the story. Behold a man facing the end. His name is John. He is a slight gentleman, only 5'7", with a round wrinkled face and a shiny bald head. There are wisps of white hair at his temples, eyes that seem always watery, thin lips incessantly pressed together. Utterly alone, he sits in the dilapidated old house that had been his father's house. There, in his despondent isolation, the stillness itself seems to scream. In heavy black ink, he scrawls in his diary, "The sun of my life sets in the deepest gloom." And there is an addition, quote, "I have no plausible motive for wishing to live when everything that I foresee makes death desirable and when I have the clearest indications that death is near at hand," end quote. A cough nags him, his bones ache. How long, he wonders, must he endure the sadness and the indignity of these last days on earth? In his diary again, quote, "No one knows the agony of mind that I have suffered." Indeed, he had. After 40 years of service, he'd been summarily turned out to pasture. The feelings of rejection were almost more than he could bear. And as though professional humiliation is not enough, there has been great personal strife. Bad investments have left John with little money. His wife is ill. His son, a heavy drinker and gambler, has killed himself. Now, with little to remind him of the good times, the lonely house echoes with a procession of failures and frustrations. Perhaps it would be easy for John to take his own life now, but not as easy as it had been for his son, for deep down in John's soul, fighting everything he feels, is the flickering spirit of self-preservation. So somehow, for some reason, he must hang on. The still-life torrent of clutter about the old house mocks John in his misery. The papers and the books are stacked floor to ceiling, the remnants of food half-eaten days ago. But no matter, for slowly all of John's surroundings are fading into the oblivion that enshrouds him. One day soon, he is certain, all will vanish forever. This is the portrait of a man at the end of the road. A sensitive fellow by nature, he is in all the more anguish. September 1830, the absolute low point of his 63 years. After 4 decades of public service, he is abandoned to his regrets, grieving hopelessly, awaiting death. But now, if the record shows that John Quincy Adams, after all those years of public life, capped by 4 years as President of the United States and a failed campaign for a second term, if the record shows that he toppled into utter despair when it was over, let it also be told that it was not all over. For following those bleakest moments of Adams' life, as recorded in his diary, was yet to be another life. He ran for Congress, and he served in the United States House of Representatives for a satisfying 17 years. The history books you have read relate that John Quincy Adams collapsed in Congress in February of 1848 and died peacefully 2 days later. And that is so. But now you know the rest of the story.